This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. The Redskins have 3 games remaining. We're not forgetting about the burgundy and gold fellas out at FedEx Field. Arizona Cardinals coming to town this weekend. A lot at stake for Jay Gruden, for Kirk Cousins, for everyone involved in the outfit. Kimberly Martin covers the team for the Washington Post. She's still fairly new to the D.C. area, and believe it or not, she's moving up the ranks so fast. She's covering her third team this football season. She was covering the Jets, then she was covering the Bills, then the Washington Post came calling. She's covering the Redskins. Kimberly, welcome to the show for the first time. You're doing a great job at the Post. We appreciate you jumping aboard.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Congrats and welcome. At this rate, by mid-January, you should be the publisher of the Washington Post, right? Maybe the CEO?
Yeah. I'm aiming for Marty Baron's job at this point, so I'm just moving up the ladder.
But you've been here for like 6 weeks now, and you haven't graduated to like the Patriots beat or a national job. But you're slacking all the
time. What are you even doing over there?
No, it's not. It hasn't been six. Yesterday was my 30-day anniversary. So it's
only
been very
grizzled
short. Yeah, so give me a couple weeks, and I might have your job. Who knows?
I'm going to bet that you will at some point, the way that you're making moves. Let's get into right now on the practice field what's going on. I've been following your Twitter account, and Zach Brown, who has been in a walking boot off and on the last several weeks, is still missing practice. But it sounds to me like Jay Gruden this week, more than any other week, really doubts that he's going to play. First of all, is that the way this is going to go? And then what would that mean for that defense?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday at the facility, I saw Zach Brown play in a walking boot while players were walking into the practice bubble. So, and Gruden, like you said, did not sound really encouraging. I mean, Zach, he's tough. He's dealt with the toe, the Achilles. He's also sick on top of that. It's not good for this team, because I think at this point, it seems like everybody is hurt. You know, I show up and half the team is on IR. So, you know, he's a tough guy. He's definitely a big component on defense, leading tackler. But as we've seen with this team, it really, at this point, next man up. You know, that really is the only thing Gruden can say. He did note that, you know, if Zach is able to practice today, that there's a chance that he could play Sunday. He wouldn't just rule him out just because he's only been able to practice one day. But I'm not optimistic. We've got practice in about an hour, and I'm not expecting to see Zach Brown out there, but, you know, time will tell.
Are you surprised, Kimberly, though, about the fact that he still wants to play so badly after that MRI on his Achilles, which you'd imagine, you know, when you're dealing with an Achilles, if that goes, obviously, that's such a serious injury. Guys fear something like that. He's not under contract next year. He's waiting on a huge contract, multi-year deal for somebody. The Redskins don't mean a ton to him. I mean, he kind of came here as a one-year rental. I love this guy, and I'm surprised how much he seems to care about wanting to play in this meaningless game.
I think if you're a Redskins fan, I think what you're seeing from Zach and what you're seeing from Trent Williams, too, is encouraging. Because I think with their record, with the playoffs not an option for a second straight year, I think it's good to see guys who you want to say have nothing to play for getting out there and saying, no, we do have a lot to play for. We're professionals. We love this game. We love each other. You know, Trent a couple weeks ago or last week, I think, was talking about how, you know, protecting Kirk, that's huge to him. And that's one of the motivating factors for him to be out there. So, you know, with Brown, I think that is good. But the danger, though, is that these guys, they love the game and they want to be out there. But you also have to weigh the cost and the benefit of them pushing themselves through all these injuries.
Follow Kimberly Martin at by Kimberly A on Twitter. 22,000 plus have done it. I've done it. It's the cool thing to do. Kimberly, big picture stuff. Let me take a kind of a step back here. What did you hear? What did you have in mind with how the Redskins was going to be? You know what I mean? When you start covering this team, you came from a couple different markets as you've experienced here this year. What did you have in mind? What did you hear about the Redskins and kind of what surprised you since you started the beat an ancient 30 days ago?
Yeah. So for viewers that don't know anything about me, I was on the Jets back from the rec days and dealt with...
Oh, so you're used to dysfunction.
Do you like it?
Yes, right, which is literally the first thing that people have, you know, said to me when I, you know, news broke that I was going to Washington Post. It's like, oh, you're good. Like, you know dysfunction pretty well. and the same thing was said to me when I got to Buffalo, and I was like, okay, maybe it's me. But, you know, this is, from what I've seen, it's a short time that I've been here. It seems like a good locker room of guys. I was told, though, like, don't worry, you know, you're coming at the end of the season, you know, it should be a quiet off season. You know, this team is sort of in the middle. Who knows if they'll be able to put together a playoff run. And since I have been here, now, you know, Josh Norman is telling me, you know, he's frustrated. He got Swearinger, you know, talking about blah practices, you know, now questions about Gruden's job. So I don't know what to expect this offseason. This will be interesting because if they lose on Sunday, not to be a total doom and gloom person, I am from New York, so we are a little negative, but that's not good. And I think that if they get blown out in the fashion that they have been blown out in recent weeks, you got to start asking a lot of questions. Like something has to be done either with the coaching staff or something, because you can lose in the NFL, but it's about how you lose. And this team, in a lot of games, hasn't played up to expectations, even with the injuries.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Kimberly Martin, covering the Redskins over the last month, has joined the beat for the Post, joining us on Grant and Danny. You wrote, going back a couple days ago, I was reading your piece on Jay Gruden wanting the Redskins to focus on the future instead of the past. I wonder what he's doing to kind of keep his team looking ahead, because obviously all the questions are about how bad they look, because people are fearing what you're saying, which is not that you're going to lose, but that if you lose looking disinterested like they did, that it's going to cost people jobs.
Right, right. And, you know, what was interesting, I understand after games, you know, see the moment, emotions are high, but when Jay Gruden looked so defeated after that loss in L.A., and, you know, he talked about how offense, defense, special teams has regressed. He's regressed as a head coach, and I thought that was interesting for him to put it all on him. But as I mentioned in that article, you know, a few days later, he was really direct about, okay, we are not talking about the last two games. We are not, you know, he wants to steer so clear away from this, you know, lack of, you know, practice narrative, you know, guys aren't really all in. And I think as much as he was speaking to us in the media, it was almost like he wanted that message to filter through the weight room and back into the locker room, because, you know, the questions are there, and rightfully so. But it's on him and it's on his players to quiet those questions down. And, you know, when you've got Swearinger talking, this isn't just the first time he's mentioned, you know, guys aren't practicing better. And even earlier this week, he said it's not frustration, it's fact. This is what's happening. That, at the end of the day, falls on Gruden and his assistant coaches, or it falls on these players. Somebody on defense, something's up. You know, there's either their players specifically, or there's something from a coaching staff that's not being done. I think it bears paying attention to.
Kimberly, last one for you quickly. If you had to bet the vast Kimberly Martin family fortune, I mean, I'm talking about all the Amazon.com dough, the fact that you own both the Jets
Bitcoin
and the Bills.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about like your Scrooge McDuck money vault. You have to bet all of it on what happens these last three games. How do the Redskins play, perform, respond to this? What we'd like to, I mean, adversity is a gentle word here. It's beyond that. It's now like saving time, as you kind of put it.
Yeah.
How would you bet on them responding here these last 3 weeks, starting this Sunday?
Dude, you're killing me with this question. You know why? Because in the last couple of weeks, all I have tweeted watching these games is like, I don't know what to make of this team because some quarters, some halves, you know, defensively they look great, and then other times you see Josh Norman and Swearinger, trailing guys into the end zone. So you're sort of like, what's happening? I honestly don't know. And I think the last three games will say a lot about this team. And I understand you got to give cut Gruden some slack in terms of the injuries. Like, you look at their IR list, it's crazy. But it's guys coming out flat, guys looking like they don't really know what they're doing or they're not in position. You can't have that. So if they lose on Sunday, I think the wheels might fall off. I really do, because you can sense the tension as far in the locker room. You can see guys are sort of like, Niles Paula told me, like, I don't know what's going on defense. I know offense, we want to continue playing. You know, Swearinger's comments didn't sit well with everybody. So, I don't know, one more loss, and I'm curious how the team will handle that on top of everything else.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, and it's why, despite the fact that a lot of Redskins fans are trying to unplug this weekend, I think it's going to be must-see TV. At by Kimberly A on Twitter to follow Kimberly Martin, who's on the Redskins beat for the Post. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate you hopping aboard.
Thanks, Kimberly.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Good having you on. There's Kimberly Martin on Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Let's do this next. A lot still to get into. We'll go around the NFL. Want to talk Redskins as well. But what is on the line for this team if they look great? And if they look terrible this weekend? If the Redskins come out and beat the Cardinals by 15 points, how are you going to feel? If they come out and they do exactly what they did against the Chargers and they get blown out by a bad team at home, how are you going to feel? We'll get into those two blanks to be filled in next on Grant and Danny. I just had to go out into the hallway and snipe a picture of Danny with his arms behind his back, staring intently into Drab's eyeballs. Because today is Danny's Super Bowl.
This is my day.
Everyone in the building is coming up to Danny and asking him about Star Wars and what he thought. Most people haven't seen it, and he has.
This is why I have to see it as soon as possible. I can't have people come up to me and go, hey, what'd you think? And ask me questions and me go, you know what? I'm actually going to see it this weekend. I can't have that. This is my time.
Especially when AWOD's here. He tried to ruin it for me at 6:30 this morning when I got in.
Has AWOD seen it?
Of course. AWOD's seen it. He doesn't care if anyone else hasn't. He wants to tweet out his box score at 6:30 in the morning.
What was better for you, Danny? Seeing the movie last night, the actual 2 hours and 20 minutes or whatever it ran when you were in the theater, or today when you get to be the expert and everyone asks you for your opinion and all
God.
The conversations you're going to have here?
That's an impossible question to answer.
I think it's today. I think this is your Super Bowl.
That's an impossible question to answer. That's like picking a favorite child. Oh, man.
And
oh,
you
man.
Wore a giant Star Wars shirt today.
Yep. It's oversized. It used
Is
to fit me
XL?
Snugly. Yeah, it's an XL.
It's funny that that's how big XLs look on you now.
I know. It's cool. It's good. Thanks to MP180 weight loss. I know we're trying to move on. I know you want to just have this be 2 seconds, but that is the hardest question I've ever had to answer. Okay. I think part of my joy last night is knowing that today is coming, which tips the scale to last night because I get Star Wars. I get to see it. And I get the knowing that I'm the one that knows and people will come to me the next day. The next day is so great. I know I'm going to eat this meal. I got to eat a different meal that's great, and I've also got the ingredients for the meal tomorrow. I think last night's better by a hair. Last night's better by a hair because I get the Star Wars that I want.
The answer
Plus
surprises me a little bit.
Plus the feeling, because this feeling is great. I get to ride the euphoria, man.
You wore a shirt purposefully so you could walk around and people that didn't know that you saw it would ask you about it.
Yep.
I mean, it's the only excuse to wear a Star Wars shirt today.
Yep. Star Wars, it says The Last Jedi right on my shirt, thanks to Tim Yorrow, who hooked it. I have it. I wore it to work today in the hopes that someone would come up to me and do exactly what Drab did. The entire commercial break was spent talking to Drab about Star Wars.
You should just have a receiving line in the kitchen all day.
Anyone who
has any questions comes up to you.
I would love to. I'd like to send out a big group email. So yours was about the Anaheim Ducks, the Mighties, the Gordon Bombays.
Right.
I'd like to send out a group email to all of Intercom. Please come talk to me about Star Wars. I know everything.
At Grant H. Paulson on Twitter, if you want a picture of Danny staring Drab down as he tells him about Star Wars. And I believe our boss, at Chris Kinard, actually sniped a video for about 20 seconds.
He did. Look at that.
Of Danny just completely talking a lot to Drab about Star Wars. And I believe he referred to it as you hijacking the hallway during the break a few minutes ago. So check that out.
Oh, it's a good video. Look at that. I use my hands so much.
You knew you used your hands a lot.
You're never really aware that it's that bad.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know that it's that much. Like, I'm aware that I move my hands on. I just stick.
You're not using your hands nearly as much in this video as you normally do.
I look like I'm conducting a symphony.
At Chris Kiner. Do you want to check that out on Twitter? Thanks to Kimberly Martin of the Washington Post for joining us to talk about the Redskins. Perhaps no Zach Brown, as she put it. She's not expecting him to go this weekend. Josh Norman's been missing practice. He could be out as well. They're going to be down a bunch of players that even during their injury-riddled second half, they have had for the most part, who are some of their better players. Here's the question for you on the phones, and we should hit them pretty hard here because we've been kind of weak at getting to the calls today, and that's my fault. 800-636-1067 on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. If the Redskins look great this weekend, what? Fill that in for us. If they come out and Jay Gruden's plan works beautifully and they look way more prepared than Arizona and they're the superior club and they sack Blaine Gabbert 7 times and give up 14 points and they score 30 and they win going away and it's just so obvious that they're the best team on the field, then what? Will you just chalk it up as it doesn't matter? Will you say that you get something out of this in the Jay Gruden conversation? 800-636-1067. Conversely, what if they're terrible?
Yep.
What if this is the Rams, the Chargers game in L.A. last week, where you went out to Los Angeles to play the Chargers and you lost essentially 30-6, kind of 30-13 if you want to count the Bashaud Breeland pick six in garbage time when Kellen Clemens, who was a Redskin 9 years ago, was on the field for the Chargers. What if they look that bad? Because this is not the Chargers. Really good team, 7-2 in their last 9. You're not playing cross-country and traveling on a 5-hour flight. This is sleeping in your own bed, the comfort of being at FedEx Field, your environment, and a team that is going nowhere, and Blaine Gabbert is their quarterback.
There are three things on the table here for me, and two of them are bad.
Bad.
They're bad.
Bad.
So let's say first that they're atrocious.
Where's that from? Bad.
I don't know.
That's something.
It is something, by the way.
Did you ever do like a that word from like Sonny Jurgensen and the Larry Michaels
maybe
thing? Bad.
Bad. Don't like it. I don't know. I don't know where that's from, but it's from somewhere. Something. We all can right, all guarantee sorry. That. Three things on the table. Two of them are bad. Thing number one, if it's a disaster, this is now, oh my God, maybe they're firing everybody. Oh my God, this is the ship is crashing into the iceberg. This is terrible. Jobs are not safe. Heads are going to fall. This is bad. This is bad. This is bad, bad, bad. So that's on the table. Thing number two, if they win and play well, you'll go, you couldn't have mustered that against the Dallas Cowboys. You couldn't have saved your season a couple weeks ago. You do it now against the bad team that's reeling. You do it now. You do this now. That's going to frustrate me. But the third part that'll balance that out is, okay, they responded. Backs were against the wall. Jobs were on the line. They showed that they had some fight. And it presumably means that some young players or inexperienced guys stepped up and played okay. Because if you don't have Zach Brown, you don't have Jonathan Allen, you don't have a million other guys, it means that somebody who might be a building block did something. Maybe Pirine played well. Maybe Doxson played well. Maybe Jeremy Sprinkle did some things with Jordan Reed on the injured reserve now. It may mean some promising stuff. So there is something good that can come of this. I think two of the possibilities, though, are either frustrating on the positive end where you go, damn it, you guys couldn't have mustered a decent effort a couple weeks ago to save your season. But the bad part, what's the bottom is really, really low.
So the word you use there is big for me, effort. Does it look like they care?
Yeah.
Does it look like they're playing with passion? Are they fighting in the second half of the game and still making plays? Are they doing anything positive? See, if they lose to the Cardinals, even Arizona being bad led by Gabbert, in a game that is competitive where they are showing some fight, I'm really not going to feel that bad or change my opinion in any way on anything about the team. However, as much as I'm a Jay Gruden guy, and I think he's done a really good job until the last couple of weeks of this season as the team is kind of letting him down, has more to do with the team than him, but he has to answer to it, I am still open to the possibility, not of blowing him out at the end of the year, but the understanding that it's going to be a fair critique if they just punt for the final quarter of the season to say this guy lost this team. Because there are 3 games left. Potentially, if you play like they did this past week 3 more times, that's a quarter of your year. It doesn't matter that it's in December. It's 25% of your season. That is a massive chunk of what you get paid to play and to coach. So if they look really good, it's going to be great because I'm going to be able to say, and I think correctly, This team does care about playing for Jay Gruden and this staff, and they are turning a corner, and this is not going to be your December angst and awfulness. But if they look terrible, everything's on the table. I want to hear from you guys next. If they look great, what? If they look awful, what? 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. If you want to see me continue to chronicle Danny's day with all the different people he'll be talking to about Star Wars, you can go to @GrantHPaulson. My latest tweet, Danny has a new visitor. Daywad, by the way. More Star Wars talk. There were tears is the last thing I heard when I left the studio.
He asked me when the 4 times that I cried were.
By the way, he was so excited about that conversation.
Absolutely.
Daywad loves you.
I think that's overstated.
I've never seen someone more happy to talk to someone.
I think he likes me.
He's a nice kid. He's a nice guy. I shouldn't call him a kid. He's a guy. He's
young
a nice
man.
One. But no one's ever been happier to talk to anyone. He was happy to talk to you right now.
So the difference, there were 7 times I cried at The Force Awakens because they're more reveals. Everyone knows they're more reveals. It's the first time we've touched on some of these characters and the scenes and the settings and the Millennium Falcon and so on and so forth. So you didn't have those same level reveals. So only 4 tears, 7 holy bleep moments, though, where my hands are on my head and I am agape and aghast. Very different.
Do I need to follow you when you go to the bathroom or to get water today just in case there's another person? Because I'm worried I'm going to run out of picture opportunities.
There won't be that many more people. Nobody from, like, the sales side cares about me.
But they don't have to care about you because you wore the shirt, remember? They're going to say, oh, did you see the movie? And you're not just going to say yes.
Yeah, but
are you capable if someone said, oh, did you see the movie, to just say yes and walk away?
It depends on who it is.
If you've never met them, you don't know them, and they say, did you see the movie?
Yeah, then I'd say just, yeah.
You would?
Yeah, sure.
Would it burn a little bit?
No, that'd be fine. Because it's the people, I need everyone that is aware of anything about me to know. And I guess that's all. I'll leave it at that. People need to know. If you know about me, then you know. Right?
Those who know, know.
Those
Kirk
who know, know.
Cousin style.
So if someone has never met me before, doesn't care, they don't know that Star Wars is my thing. They don't know that it's like the thing that I'm obsessed with and I love so much, and it's just all it does is provide so much joy. How would they know that?
Can I get real with you for a second?
Okay.
Kind of a show meeting on the air thing.
All right.
Do you think I'm overly adamant about talking about the Redskins today? Like, am I over crowbarring it in? Because no one's calling or caring.
No, we're doing what we're supposed to do.
I mean, we keep getting back to the Redskins when I'm having fun, joking about Star Wars.
No. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We are doing what we're supposed to do.
But nobody cares about this.
2 big things are happening in the world right now. 1, Star Wars came out last night. That happened. That absolutely happened. We've spent the appropriate amount of time on it. Probably too much, to be honest with you. Making fun of me is more important than actually breaking down Star Wars things. I think everything that's happening on that front is correct. 2nd thing is, the Redskins play and there's a lot on the line this weekend. If we're going to go down...
So we just got to do our jobs and let people listen to
that. The wood needs chopping. We're going to chop it. If people aren't motivated to telephone about it, that's fine.
Yeah, that's good.
That's fine. We're going down doing the thing you're supposed to do.
All right, so let's just run through the projected old depth chart here and kind of take a peek ahead as to what's on the line for these various people. Ready? Quarterback Kirk Cousins. We'll get into this later. I personally don't think he has anything left to prove. It's over. We know. He's a good quarterback. He deserves to be paid. But you'd be lying to yourself, even if you like Kirk Cousins or you think he's a good quarterback like I do. And I think you'd be lying as a Redskins fan if you just said, the saga's over, the Redskins have made up their mind. I think that each of these games for Kirk Cousins is going to help or hinder him with the front office. I really do believe that.
Can you believe that?
Should it be the case? Of course not. Because, again, this debate ended probably in late 2015, if you're smart, and certainly midway through 2016, if you're just everybody else. And if you still don't believe, after all that he's done over 3 seasons as one of the highest-rated, most statistically proficient quarterbacks in the league, who's just, after one injury And another at various positions that matter around him just kept chucking the football, putting up numbers, and giving the Redskins chances to win competitive games. If you don't see it yet, you're a silly goose, but maybe Dan and Bruce are silly geese.
Well, the debate, by the way, they're two different ones. I think the debate, as you've said, of can he play, is there's a minimum threshold that he's over. There's no question about that. It's three Robert Griffin apologists that tweet me and you all the time,
right,
that you've muted that are
and that
unbearably
debate
annoying.
Has ended.
Yeah, that debate is long over.
Second debate's the money debate.
That's the important one.
Good
by
debate.
The way, a good debate.
Good conversation.
28, too much. 34, way too much.
Yeah.
Everyone acknowledges that.
But would you pay him 28? Maybe.
At this point,
pay him 34?
At this point, yeah. Maybe I would. I don't know. That is an interesting thing. It depends on what else
remember,
happens. Yeah.
The numbers came out that we've been forecasting based on what agents have been telling me for a while by the USA Today report. We've been telling you for about 2 months on this show that salary cap was going to be up around $180 million. I think the USA Today report the other night was $178 million.
178 is what I saw.
28 is not going to seem that crazy in a couple years. Now, do I want to pay him 28? No.
I want what I can't have, which was 19.
Yeah.
Or 20 something this time.
This is what I'm going to do. I will transition tag him. Someone will agree to a contract with him. If they don't, I have him at 27 and change, which is a godsend, by the way. If they do, then I either get to match or I don't, and I move on with my life, and I now have that money to spend, and I will try to build a winning roster.
And the folks that are advocating for the franchise tag there believe that there's this magic trade that's going to happen if you allow him to go sign somewhere else and they'll just give you a couple first-round picks.
Right.
That's not going to happen. So they go, you lose him for nothing. And I go, yeah, you lose him for nothing. You get cap space back and the clarity of vision of what you're actually finally going to do. Because right now, they keep taking a knee and hoping that the decision will make itself, and it won't.
Does any part of you, this could actually be a fun call topic one day, probably after the season. You're a diehard Redskins fan, and mm-hmm. all you want is for this team to win. Okay, we are in the exact same boat. We've been sitting in it our whole lives.
We just disagree about how. You know, everybody does, right?
Does any part of you want to see Kirk Cousins leave and go thrive somewhere else? Does any part of you say, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of everyone yelling and screaming about this. I'm tired of the Redskins not knowing. I'm tired of the detractors being the loudest people in the room. We'll be okay here without him because literally this is all it's ever been.
Yep.
It's bad. So let him go elsewhere. I hope he goes and wins 3 Super Bowls in the next 6 years because he's a really good dude and a really good quarterback. And I'll deal with whatever happens here. I'll worry about cleaning up my house after he leaves, and I'll try to find the next Kirk Cousins.
It's like, what are your priorities?
Does any part of you think that way? Because I'm telling you, my level of that is growing as this season goes on.
I think that's partly as a result of the frustration of the fact that we still have to have certain arguments that are ridiculous
yeah.
at this point, right? From the lunatics that won't call him by his name or that still pine for a guy that's on ESPN talking about, I got an offer to play in a preseason game for the Ravens, but I didn't do it. Anyway, like they still think that guy's better and they still will say that Cousins is trash or kind of whatever. Again, ignorance and stupidity basically on this front. We're still putting up with them. We're still fighting with them. There is a part of me that out of spite wants him to leave and be wildly successful. And so everyone can remember what it looks like when you don't have adequacy.
Yeah.
Because I've done that for 25 years.
There's actually a bunch of people who want to hop in on this. And some of them actually do want him to leave because they like him a lot. And they know that it's not going to work here.
Right.
So we'll get to those calls next. 800-636-1067. We can try to squeeze in a winning off the field as well. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. I just asked Danny kind of rhetorically, and some people want to hop in on this, so why not? 800-636-1067. As much a Redskins fan as you are, and this is not to say that I hope the Redskins fail afterwards by any means. I want them to win. I say the same thing to Cousins supporters that I said to Griffin supporters back in the day, which is, this is bigger than one player. You're a fan of a team, not of a guy. But I am closing in on a point with this saga just never ending in Cousins at a very high rate of money, by the way, being held hostage year after year, 1 year at a time, where not just do I want this to end, but more than that, because I think the guy is a better dude than the organization is. Because I think he is classy and the people that he deals with are not. And because I think he's a good player and this organization doesn't allow good players to achieve success and hasn't for 25 years, I am at a point now where I legitimately would like to see Kirk Cousins leave to go win elsewhere at times.
Mm.
Now, that's not all the time. Like, before a game at 12:55, you come find me, I'm glad eight's on our side. But when I'm in the middle of a debate with some guy telling me that he can't do this or he can't do that, or just in general, when I see a Bruce Allen leak or one of these things that comes out, I go, you know what, dude? Why deal with this? Just go win a Super Bowl somewhere. I would love that for you. I was asking Danny if he feels the same way, and some of you guys do. Steve's in Fredericksburg. What's up, Steve?
Cuba Steve.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'll make it quick. You hit the nail on the head, Grant. He's too nice a guy, too good a leader, too good a player to be putting up with this. I'd love to see him, I don't know, go to Denver, go somewhere and be successful. I'll take your comments offline.
Thank you, buddy.
Do you think a lot of people feel that way?
I do, mostly because it's a combo of a number of things. If this was just all situations normal where you recognize as a franchise, hey, you've got, again, above the minimum standard of what it takes to have a competitive NFL team at quarterback. Everyone's desperate for that. Keep in mind who starts in the NFL this week. There will be must-win games started by absolute dregs of the NFL quarterbacking, that terrible carousel that Redskins fans know all too well, or at least should. Every organization that's gotten someone that's above a certain level, just, you don't let him go. You may draft a replacement. You may draft a Pat Mahomes. You may draft an Aaron Rodgers to the Brett Favre, but you don't let that player go until it's clear and obvious that you've got a solution in place. The Redskins never have. So outside of that, the Redskins have gotten allowed it to get to this point. So you know or you feel that, a deal is not in the works, and if it was, it's going to be overpaying, so you can live with that guy leaving. There's a big part of fans that take that bit of information and add to it, I want all the stupids to have to experience what it's like again, just so they are reminded of what it looks like otherwise.
Okay, but when you say it that way, it means you are pulling for them to have a bad quarterback situation.
Because that's what's going to happen.
Possibly, but there's a difference between that happening and you rooting for it. In other words, if they were to draft Baker Mayfield in the first round, would you root for him to fail so that people say, see, you got to take advantage of the opportunity you have? Or would you want him to be special? Because for me, I want to be good as quickly as possible. I've now broken up with this person.
Yeah.
Whatever happens in their life, I'm not checking their Facebook.
Right.
I hope they have success. I got to move on to my own thing now. Would you root against Baker Mayfield?
No, I'm not rooting against anybody for the Redskins.
What
I'm saying is, though, I want everyone to remember how correct I am at all times about this conversation.
Right.
That's my big deal.
Rob's in D.C. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Rob.
Grant, Danny, what's going on, guys?
Hey, dude.
I wanted to really quickly say, at the end, I'll let you guys know that one of my guys has been cheering for him to leave this whole time. And for me, I just want him to succeed now because of what this organization is. I'm from D.C. I love D.C. And what's going on now is it amazes me that people are saying that he's not that good of a quarterback. I think they're forgetting Gus Frerotte, Heath Shuler, and all the 30 quarterbacks that we've had prior. And Grant, I just want to say, Danny, guys, you know, I'm plugging this right now. We talked about this on my podcast, and I want to say thank you guys for allowing us to kind of inspire us to do this podcast with at the we tweeted you guys at the FOB podcast.
Oh, cool, but, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, appreciate you. Thanks for listening, dude. Absolutely. That's cool, and keep it up. As far as Cousins goes, I don't think there are as many people anymore as most of the people assume that there are that don't think he can play. I mean, I like to say the debate is over, but that is a percentage of the fan base that's probably in the 10 to 20 range, something like that. They're just loud. They're very vocal, and they are very present. But the vast majority, and forget Redskins fans, if you look around the country at pundits, where it used to be nationally, you'd have a lot of guys saying, no, this guy is this, or he's a bench player, you don't hear that a lot.
You get like Dan Fouts casually quipping, like, yeah, of course he's good. You know what I mean? Like, it's so understood.
Exactly. That's one of the things that has changed. Let's go to Teo in D.C. What's up, man?
What's up, y'all? Danny, Grant. I think that initially I would want to say that people are right in their assessment because they want to look at Kirk and say, well, look at this, the money he gets. Well, guess what? I think that maybe everybody needs to hear this. Kirk did not sign himself.
Right.
He didn't sign himself. And I think a lot of people fail to understand that or realize that. Kirk, we know Kirk is who he is in the fourth round, and he's a good quarterback, a very good quarterback. Everyone is looking for him to be dynamic. Well, guess what? Dynamic guys usually get drafted in the first round. But he's a guy that puts his hard hat on, he's consistent, he's disciplined, and he's dedicated. And I think that a lot of people don't understand because he's so nice of a guy. But at the end of the day, he didn't go to Booth Island and say that, man, look, I want 30 or 50 million. He didn't go to Booth Island. I mean, look, he couldn't come to a reasonable deal. Understood. But let's look at it kind of this way. Here's the proof in the pudding. I think at one point, Chick Hernandez had put out a tweet when Scott McLuhan was fired saying that the negotiations were off the table with Kirk Cousins. I don't know how strong that held, but we got to look at the organization
as a whole. I don't remember,
though.
I feel like, didn't that tweet get deleted shortly thereafter?
It did. But yeah, real quick, before y'all cut me off, organization as a whole, you had anybody that spoke out against the organization was out of anybody that seemed like they were on Scott McLuhan's side, Deshaun Jackson, Garcon, Chris Baker, Francois, they didn't directly say Booth Allen. But if they gave kudos to Scott McLuhan or indirectly spoke out about the organization, they were out of here.
Right.
They're gone.
That's a good call. Yeah. And if you think Kirk is tight with Bruce, I don't think you've read the tea leaves all that well over the last few years. It is not as strong as he doesn't want to be here if Bruce Allen's here. But I think part of when he says, I got a lot to figure out, I don't know if this is the right place, he talks all the time about wanting to win. Right, I want to win, and it's not just about money, and I got to see if I can do that. He may not think Bruce Allen as a team president is a guy that can win.
I certainly don't.
He has been terrible. He may not think that the Dan and Bruce combination is ever going to result in a Super Bowl. So a year at a time, if you want to keep me around and pay me $34 million, I'm a pro. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to do everything right. But I don't think I can win here, so I'm not signing a five-year contract with you guys.
And as I said, if I'm him, I basically say, if you haven't made up your mind, I have. I already know. You're taking the time to evaluate me, that's adorable. I've already evaluated you, and it starts with an L and ends with an R.
John's in Richmond. What's up, John?
Hey, boys.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going? Happy Star Wars Day to you, Danny.
Day.
Yeah, for sure. I'm over it. I'm ready. He's a nice dude. I'm ready for him to go somewhere else and succeed. He didn't put himself in the position that the team put him in terms of his contract. They bet on him to lose. He didn't lose. And that's the Redskins' bet, and they have to lie in it, or they can let him walk. Mm. So, yeah, quickens the point, I'm over it.
Yeah, it's kind of how I feel, too, because it is accurate now to say it takes two to tango, and I do believe that the team could come to him and say, hey, we'll pay you $28 million a year. I don't think that they will, but I could see that happening.
Let's say that they do.
I don't think Cousins would accept that, because he shouldn't, because he can get more on the open market, or he could make 34 this coming year. It makes no sense for him really to do a deal right now when you probably aren't going to win a Super Bowl here. Look at the last 25 years. You don't love the people you're working with in the front office, and even though it's not the number one priority, you can make a lot more money in a place where you're a lot happier elsewhere. So why would he sign? But that said, he spent a couple years trying to sign with this team. He did.
Yeah.
For a lot less money than he makes now. At which point they said, no, do it again. No, do it again. Okay, fine, I'll just keep doing it. And by the way, the ship sailed now. And that's kind of how I sum it all up. Beltway Blitz at noon. We'll do it next. Spin around town. Three teams in town you care the most about. 12-18. We'll get into the NFL matchups this weekend. There are some gems. Really good games around the National Football League. We'll break down for you in the 12 o'clock hour.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live. It's Danny Rhea talking about Tedbert Ford. I love these guys, and you will too. These are good people, the best people, terrific, terrific. I love what they do. Here's basically what's going on at Tedbert Ford for the rest of the year. The 2017s, they got to go. They've all got to go. The 2018s, they are coming like winter is coming. My brother's in the Night King. That's Jon Snow. He oversees the Night King. Watch for it next time you watch GOT. Point of the dude's story is this. All the 2017s have to go, as I mentioned. 0% financing, 0% APR. For 72 months on all the 2017s. That equates to a great deal. On the Focus, the Fusion, the Mustang, the Taurus, the Escape, the Flex, the Explorer, the Expedition, and the F-150. That's a lot of cars, trucks, and SUVs. You can lease a new 2018 Ford Escape as low as $199 a month. Lease a new 2018 Ford Fusion. I got the 2017 Fusion, and I just love it. For as low as $199 a month, or buy it and save up to $6,000 off the MSRP. New 2018 Ford Explorer, as little as $245 a month, or purchase and save up to $8,000 off the MSRP. Your Stone Cold Steve Austin bottom line is this. Terrific deals, great customer care, a couple great locations. Fairfax and Chase. Can we tell them when you go to Tedbert Ford that Danny sent you?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.